we need the anointing of God. The anointing is that divine enablement of the Holy Ghost or the power of God to operate and function in our life. And some of us men need the anointing of God on our life to really be a father. We need the anointing of God in our life. Some of us business people, we need an anointing. You can go through the motion, and I don't want to go through the motion. You should want to be anointed.
You're listening to the Anointed Leadership Podcast with Terry Lynn Scott. Subscribe today to start cultivating more leadership anointing in your life. Now here's your host, Terry Lynn Scott.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Anointed Leadership Podcast. I'm your host, Terry Lynn Scott. Again, I am so grateful that you're joining me as you are a faithful subscriber and listener to this podcast. I truly pray that as we create content here, that as we help you in your leadership and discover who you are and all that God has called you to do and how to lead with great effectiveness through the scriptures, that I pray today that you're blessed today. I pray today's content and the future content actually helps you grow. As we jump into today, I'm going to jump into a two-part series of teachings over the next few months, and I want to just challenge you. But prior to us getting into the content, I want to remind you of a couple of things. Number one, if you've never subscribed to the channel, please do so. Whatever platform, if this is a podcast platform, a social media platform, or if it's the YouTube channel, please subscribe to that. Hit the notification. That way you can be sure to know every time we drop one of these, and we can keep adding value to your ministry, your family, your business, your leadership today. Amen. Second thing, if you would do me a favor, share this content with people that you believe would add value to their life, whether they're leaders, whether they're upcoming leaders, if they're anybody that has a level of influence, which by the way, we all do. Share this content with anybody and everybody you can imagine that would add value to their life. I would greatly appreciate that. Whether you watch it on YouTube or you listen to it on a podcast channel, I'm so grateful that you would share that today. And lastly, I want to ask you to do this. Drop a comment. Leave me a message. Shoot it to me through my website, terrylynnscott.com. Get with me. Connect with me. I've had many people start connecting with me through emails, and I love interacting. I love collaborating to help leaders grow, business owners grow. Whether you're an entrepreneur with multiple businesses, you're in the corporate world, or you're a small mom and pop style business, I would love to help you. Pastors, if you're a pastor out there, I would love to help you with your leadership. Most pastors are managerial by DNA, but what takes a ministry or a church from one level to the next is leadership. So I would love to help you in your leadership, help you grow, help you develop. And as we jump into this today, I am praying that this content will add value to you today. Hey, as we are jumping in to today's episode, I want to give you an update, a couple of things that are taking place at the Anointed Leadership Podcast. I'm getting ready to jump you into a part one of a two-part series of a teaching that I did for a local church and their leadership, about 20-some people in a young church and their leadership development of second-tier people with the senior pastor and such. And their goal is to, how do I become better? Where do I go? And I believe principles of God, the leadership principles are effective in any vein, in any area of life. But what we talked about in this first session that I'm going to deal with is how to have the heart of your leader. I've actually done a podcast on this, one of my first episodes I ever did. But I've learned a lot inside of this podcast. And today, as you jump in to the episode, this is part one of part two. As you jump into it today, I want to challenge you to let the words just resonate in your heart. How do you grow? If you're second in charge today, if you are a second tier leader, whatever that looks like, maybe you're the senior leader today and this is, you want to learn this, but I would challenge you to share this with everybody underneath you. Why? Because some of the key components that I share with you today through the scriptures are principles that God has developed in leadership. And I pray, and I believe this, that according to the scripture, that if those who read it will run with it. And I believe that our goal is to run with the vision, not hinder it, not taint it or delay it, but to run with it. Or we could say it this way, move it forward. Many times people don't move the vision forward because they don't really have the heart. They're task driven rather than vision driven. purpose driven. And so how do we move people away from being task driven to get the heartbeat or the spirit behind or the vision that's driving that business, that church, whatever it is? And I want to bring you into it's a two part. So this time and the next time, we're going to be able to show and help you understand what the scriptures say about grabbing the heart. Listen, join in today. Don't disconnect. Connect completely and understand how it is to get the heartbeat of your leader today.
Amen. How's everybody? Good? Thank you, Pastor Carl and Tanisha. We love you guys here at Restoration. Amen. And you know me and I know you, praise God, for the most part. Amen. And I just want to challenge you. You know, you have a great leader. You have a great pastor. So you have, amen, amen, you have great pastors. They're young in the ministry. They're young in age. They're dealing with life, but they are great pastors. And why I say they're great pastors is because there are people that are in the ministry. Paul talked about it. There's some that preach the gospel for Jesus, and there's some that preach it for their selfish gain. Paul said, I don't really care how it gets preached as long as Jesus is preached. Right? He doesn't care about the preacher. He cares about the message. And then the result of that message is that people come to know Jesus. And so what I appreciate about Pastor Carl and Tanisha is that they're not the latter portion of that. They are the ones that are preaching Jesus with authenticity, understanding Christ, and wants the gospel of Jesus Christ to be preached and not their own castle. We were just talking about it. They're very much of a castle-minded, I mean, kingdom-minded. What I look at that is castles are, you're building your own. You're interested in your own place, your own church, your own building, your own name. Kingdom is we're raising the name of Jesus Christ, and we don't really care where people go to church. I want you to, as a pastor, I care. I want to grow my church. I want to, you know, in the same community, I want to grow my church. And the reason is the vision, and we're going to talk some about this today, but the vision is large. And for the vision to come to pass, it takes a lot of people. It's not just the money, but it's people to do the work, right? And so to build your church and the balance between I'm going to build my church and I'm going to build the kingdom, there's a fine line there, because ultimately you're going to hear him talk about the kingdom, but he's really saying, hey, Restoration is part of that kingdom-minded church, and there's no greater church. You know, if you ever hear me preach, I say Abundant Life Church is the greatest church in the world. It's not just America. We're the greatest church in the world. I don't care what you say about it. Abundant Life Church is the greatest church in the world. Why? Because it's where God put his name for me. But you should be saying Restoration Worship Center is the greatest church in the world for you, right? You and your family, because it's where God put his name for you. So this balance in leadership and balance in pastoring is how do you become kingdom-minded without being castle-minded? It's the reality. The soul matters more than the church. But the church and the vision God has placed in our heart does matter, and it takes people. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes energy. And so I just want to challenge you. You have a great leadership in front of you. You've got great pastors. One of the greatest things I've learned about Timothy in the Bible, who I believe was one of the greatest men in the scriptures post-Christ, is that Timothy became this disciple who took over one of the greatest churches of the scriptures, which is the church at Ephesus. And when he took over the church at Ephesus, the Ephesus church was a great church. Listen to the way God writes the story in the book of Ephesians. And it was Pastor Timothy that took that over, but his whole lineage, like what he went through. And as you grow, as you develop, as you understand Timothy was one of these disciples that actually looked at God, that Paul said, there's nobody else like him. And I want you to understand that's what you have to see him that way, and he has to see you that way in leadership. You have to be on the same mindset. You have to be on the same page where we're building the kingdom of God. And there has to be, yeah, we're going to shout Restoration is the greatest. But then there's also the hope that, hey, maybe a Restoration is not for you. Right? Maybe Abundant Life's not for you. And when you understand that, when you understand that it's the kingdom, that it's the vision, that this is the place, and you should be shouting Restoration Worship Church is the greatest center of all on the planet, right? Because God's changing your life and you're putting your gifts to the thing there. And that's what Timothy did with Paul. Timothy went all in with Paul. He left mom, he left dad, he left city, he left everything and followed Paul for 14 years. And after he followed Paul for 14 years, he got a church. Amen. He never planned the church. He just planned to follow Paul. Amen. And so I just want to, I'm exhorting you for a moment before we dive in, but these are some of the greatest, most precious people that you can find on the planet, I believe. And I'm grateful for our friendship. I'm grateful for what we're going to do together in the city of Radcliffe. Amen. I believe Radcliffe shall be saved.
Amen.
I believe that with all of my heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. So as we dive in today, Pastor Carl asked me, and I'm honored to do this. I want you to know just a little bit about me. In 2016, I was the worst leader you could ever find. I was horrible. I didn't know much about it, and I thought I did. And so I began to do a journey of personal development in the leadership biblically, not just in not business leadership, but just biblical leadership. What does the Bible say? How does God do things? And so for two years of my life, I went and developed into leadership. And today I'm leading people all across the world, which is an amazing thing for me that God would allow Terry from Radcliffe. You know what I mean? Terry from the Cliff, who barely passed North Harden High School. Just so you all clear. just so you all clear. God can do anything. Amen?
Yes, he did.
All right. So as I've done that, everything I do is biblical. Everything I want to teach you and show you is biblical. Isaiah chapter 55 says it this way in verse 8 and 9. His ways are not my ways, or your ways are not his ways. Your thoughts are not his, and his thoughts are not yours. Then verse 9, he says, his ways are higher. And he says his thoughts are higher. So we have to take our mindset and say what I know naturally to what God says and the way God does things. You know, and it's his ways are much higher, and his ways are all in the scripture. And so as we dive in today, I want to challenge your leadership. I want to challenge you as the individual. I want to challenge Restoration Worship Center. As people are coming to the body of Christ, what are they coming to? Are they coming to a standard of gospel that is his ways, or are they just coming to the standard of the world? See, we can't win the world with the world. We got to win the world with the kingdom. We got to win the world with the gospel. And we've got to create an understanding and leadership that the business world and the arena in the business world thought process, though it may apply and run parallel to the kingdom, it is not how we operate. We are not natural people. We are not mere humans. We are spiritual individuals with the Word of God on the inside of us. And so we function in a different level. We function in a different realm, even in leadership. We function the way God does things. Amen? I'm going to ask you to write two questions down. You don't answer them now, but I would challenge you in your leadership. As you guys are developing in 2024 and moving forward with the things of restoration, I'm going to ask you to write the first question down. What is the vision of RWC? Without asking your pastor, without asking and flipping to the website, here's our vision. You don't write it out yet, but I want you to think about that. What is the vision of Restoration Worship Center? What's the vision? Why do we exist? Not what do we do, not how do we do it, but why? Why is Restoration Worship Center in the city of Radcliffe? Why is it here? Not the denomination, not the church structure, but the why. And here's the question, and here's the thought process you have to realize. If you can't write that down, you're going to miss components of future growth in your life as well as the ministry. In church leadership, if the leaders don't know the vision, then nobody else will. The vision, Acts chapter 26, verse 19, Paul tells King Agrippa. You remember in Acts chapter 9, Paul is on the road to Damascus, who is Saul, and when he's on his road to Damascus, the Lord stops him and he tells him to go into the city and he'll be told what to do. But he tells Ananias, he's my chosen vessel. And when he tells him his chosen vessel to go preach, he goes and does it. We don't see much of the explanation of what God spoke to Paul. But in Acts chapter 26, Paul goes to King Agrippa and he tells King Agrippa, this is what God told me. Now, it's interesting how the vision evolved. But what Acts chapter 26, verse 19 says, Paul said to King Agrippa, I've been faithful to the heavenly vision. I want you to understand one thing. This vision I'm asking you to write down is not the Great Commission, because the commission is not vision. The Great Commission is to every person, not to a local church. And so the mindset of Mark chapter 16, Matthew chapter 28 is that this is the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Yes, but there's something different about an entity. A four-walled building that people come to gather to rally around, isn't a commission, it's a vision. Habakkuk 2 says, man of God, write the vision down. Watch and see what I say to you. So it's going to be in your heart. You've got to write the thing down. And a church is not a commission, it's a vision. The plan of God is that we rally around a vision that separates us or makes us different than all the other churches, not better. It doesn't separate from better and good and bad. It separates in vision. Your gifts are attached to a vision, not to a man, not to a church, and not to a denomination. And no offense, please. But the reality is, if you understand this one principle in leadership, you're not here because of a church name. You're not here because you like the preacher. You're not here because you love what the name of the church is. You're here because of the vision of God that God put in his heart, not in somebody else's heart. Paul told King Agrippa, I've been faithful to the heavenly vision. So if you don't know the heavenly vision, now, two things could be, A, he's not made it clear, which I know he's working on making it very, very clear. But you have to know what you know today. That's your first question. Amen? If you don't know the vision, how do you lead? And what are you leading to? What should it look like? What should every event I do? What should everything I do in the church do? Why do we do what we do? Why do we have prayer? Why do we have Valentine's, you know, sweetheart dinners and banquets? Why do we have concerts? Why do we have the why? It pushes the what. We don't just get together. It becomes a social club if there's no why. Understand that. And churches are not social clubs. So the why, you have to understand what is the vision. The second thing I want you to write down and just go back and put your thoughts together. What is your role in accomplishing the vision of RWC? What's your role? You got to know your role. You got to know your place. You got to know exactly what that looks like. What am I just supporting it? Am I a second tier leader that is delegating authority to people? Am I the runner? Habakkuk chapter 2 says, write the vision down, make it plain. They that read it, they will run with it. Now, this my role is, are you causing it to go backwards? Are you causing it to halt? Are you causing it to fail? Or are you running with it? You know what I'm talking about. I'm an athlete, a bit, well, not anymore an athlete, but I consider myself an athlete. So when I was younger, I only chose those that could help me. You know, remember that? I was like never the guy that was picked last, just so you know. I just wasn't that guy. Thank God I wasn't that guy. But when I'm picking, if I'm the captain and we're doing pickup, you know what I mean? I'm looking for the guy that's going to help me, not the guy that's going to hurt me, not the guy that's going to slow me down, not the guy, you know, you're only as strong as the weakest link. So let's just not have a weak link on the team. That was my mindset. Well, it's the same thing in the kingdom, right? I'm not taking the slowest guy. I'm not taking the weakest guy. I'm not taking the guy that can't handle the ball. You know what I'm saying? I'm not. If we're playing football, a guy has to have hands. He's got to catch, right? He's got to know how to move. He's got to be agile, right? So you got to look for things like that. Well, the question becomes, what's your role? Are you pushing the vision? Are you advancing the vision? Or are you holding the vision up? Are you hindering the vision? But not just what I do, but the role of it. It says, he that reads it, let him run. I need people around me that run. I need people that read it and run. Need people that read it and catch it and run. I need people around me that can interpret what I'm saying and they can run with it. If you're running with it, it's so smooth. It's like driving your car. And this is what it feels like in leadership. Just understand the analogy. You're driving down the road, you're hitting 75, 80 miles an hour, 90, whatever you drive, you know. I'm a 90 mile an hour guy. You know, I know there's no speed limit signs at 90, but just they're suggested in my mind anyway. So you're running, you know. you're running and all of a sudden, now you got brake lights coming. Brake, and it frustrates you. Because you're running, you're good, and all of a sudden, what's going on? Why? And then boom, you're at a stop. I don't want to be the guy with brake lights. You know, I don't ever want to touch the brakes, don't want to tap the brakes, I just want to go. That's what it looks like. Now, there's times that you have to adjust, but you have to ask, what's your role right now? Am I helping him or am I hindering him? And leaders, the second tier leaders, and this is the second tier leadership of the team, I'm going to assume, the second tier leaders determine the speed of the vision, not the visionary. The visionary determines the vision based on what God puts in his heart, and he determines the clarity of that vision, the evolvement of that vision. But the second tier leaders are the ones that actually determine the speed of a vision, whether you can run with it or you have to slow down and walk with it. There is a speed in the spirit. There's a flow of the spirit. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 30 says, they'll be renewed with their strength. They'll mount up with wings and they'll soar. They will run and they will walk. There's a flow. There's a speed. You can walk, and there's times to walk, and there's times to just get out and blaze a trail. Amen? So I'm asking you those two things today. Are y'all catching some thoughts? Setting some things in. This is how you grow. You know, Pastor Carl and I was talking the other day. I said, you know, I don't do church growth conferences. And the reason why I don't is there's not a Bible verse that tells me that it's my job to grow the church. There's not one Bible verse that tells me that I'm to grow the church, that my systems, that what I do grows the church. There's the Bible verses that say this, and the Lord added to the church daily. And the Lord added to the church daily. And the Lord added to the church daily. We were just chatting about that. And I quit thinking about how I can grow the church, and I started doing what I was supposed to do. Take the vision, make it plain, preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick, cast out demons, get people filled with the Holy Ghost, and just make disciples. And what I have found is in that vein, God has added to the church daily because I've learned how to steward the people that come to me. Right? So in your development and as you're moving forward in your leadership, understand this. You can do a lot of things to try and attract people to church. You ever tried that? People show up. What do they really want? A handout rather than a hand up. Right, let's be real. We're talking about leadership. I'm a pastor. I know what it's like in Radcliffe. I get it. Same people show up at every church to get whatever they can, but never make God the Lord of their life, right? So you can make a decision in this. The question becomes is if he shifts to this, I'm going to let Jesus add to the church daily, which he is, it's what his goal is. But what does the second tier leadership have to do with that? The sustainment of growth is up to you. That's not up to him. That's not God's plan. The sustainment of church growth is up to the leaders, not the pastor. Because ultimately, they expect pastor to be kind. They expect pastor to be friendly. They expect pastor to shake their hand. They expect pastor. But most people don't expect somebody else in the ministry to reach out, to love them, to make the disciple, to speak with them, to pray with them. You know, I need pastor to pray for me. I need pastor to pray for me. I know you do. But I am here today, and I am anointed just like pastor's anointing, because we're not saying he's different. We're saying he carries a heavenly vision. And because of the heavenly vision, the responsibility of leadership and ministry is upon his shoulder. The mantle is upon his shoulder. You understand this. And your job is to function and support that mantle biblically. Amen. And when you do that, growth happens. Ministry is exceedingly, abundantly above all you can ask, think, or imagine. Because we're in prayer. You ever thought about that? You've been in prayer, praying, and you don't see no result? Because prayer is not the only thing you do. You got to do something. You got to become that leader that carries the same burden and the same vision that the man of God has. Amen. I declare over you, 2024 will be your greatest year ever in Jesus' name. Watch double happen to you. Watch double happen this year. It may double again in Jesus' name. But can you handle it? This is what you have to ask. You're asking God to do this, but can we handle it through leadership? Amen. Because it takes, here's what I realized. Growth creates chaos. You could also say this. I've said this before. Growth creates complexity. It creates chaos. Growth creates chaos. It does. Believe me. It's creating chaos in your ministry. It's creating chaos in my ministry. It's creating chaos everywhere. It creates chaos in everything that we see. But chaos or complexity kills growth. That's what we want to grow, but then we kill it because we don't know how to handle. We don't know how to manage. We don't know how to, right? And so we've got to develop that stuff in our hearts. We got to develop, how do I do this now? And what happens is when you know your role and you know the vision, you know what to do then. You'll discover the what, because it eliminates the things that are just time wasters. It eliminates things that I don't need to give effort and energy to, because the why and the what determine the how. And we have to recognize that. But understand this, growth creates chaos, chaos kills growth. Growth creates complexity, complexity kills growth. And we have it's an oxymoron type situation, right? Catch 22. But the reality is if you know how to manage and you know how to do this, then you're going to see great growth and you're going to sustain that. Take this one thing away that I've learned in the kingdom of God. It's the second tier leaders that sustain growth, not the pastor. Amen. Acts chapter 6, I believe it is. It says there was the setting in of the seven. Remember that? The seven deacons. It says, you go do the work. I'm going to go pray. So people were being frustrated because they weren't getting, tables weren't being waited on them. And the setting of the deacons, you remember that, Acts chapter 7-6? They were all frustrated because they weren't getting taken care of by the apostles. Apostle says, that's not my job. The apostle said, my job is to go pray, read the word, preach the gospel. It's your job to take care of the people. Second tier leadership. You understand that deacons are great when we want a title, but that's not the plan of the deacon. The deacon was to take the pressure off of the pastor, the apostle, the leader, so that they could go and pray and hear God and tell people what God says. It was the second tier leader's job to take care of the people. Amen. I want to challenge you. Here's what I'm asking you to do. Having the heart of the pastor to bear the burden. This is what I'm asking you to do, because in their heart, Pastor Carl and I have talked. We're great friends. He's given me a few thoughts, and I've challenged him with some things to do. But in his heart, there's a vision. In his heart, he's bringing clarity to his vision. He's becoming to understand there's more to him and to Nisha and to restoration than just having a church. There's a greater mandate on your life and on this ministry than just being in Radcliffe and having a good church and having great worship and having a Sunday service, midweek service, children, da-da-da. There's more to that. There's so much more. But there's a burden in their heart. They as a pastor, let me just help you. When I was second tier, remember this, 20 years, I was the associate pastor at Abundant Life Church for 20 years. I never wanted to be the pastor, never asked to be the pastor. I never prayed for it. I actually kicked against it. Said, nope, not doing it. I enjoy going to bed. I enjoy waking up and having zero responsibility, but just tell me what to do. I just want you to understand. I did not want to wake up in the middle of the night at 3 a.m. with a vision hitting my heart. I didn't want to wake up and say, God, tell me to go do this, and I have to make a decision to do it. I didn't have to obey God that way. I had to obey the pastor. When they said they heard God, and all I had to do was obey the pastor, I was happy, just so you know. But God saw something different in my life and in the plan of God, and he said, I never wanted it. So I'm not telling you from a pastor standpoint, I'm telling you 20 plus years, because in 1992, when I stepped into ministry, started as custodian, all the way to 2020, I was a second tier leader. I was cleaning churches, doing youth ministry. I was doing it all. I was doing nursery, changing diapers. I was doing all. So I'm not speaking to you from 2020 on. I'm telling you from 1992 to 2020, where my life, what I've learned through levels of development, things that helped me become who I am today. And that this is the mindset. His heart, there's a burden there. There's a passion. When you talk to him, he cares about people. He cares about restoring lives and restoring marriages and restoring hope and restoring. He's always talking about restoring. He's always talking about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that overtakes everything else, that you can't do it on your own. You can't come out of an addiction without the grace of God. You can't beat pornography and all this stuff without the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. His heart is to restore. Amen. Amen. But the question becomes, who's going to carry that burden with him? So for me, this is what I learned. Numbers chapter 11, verse 16 and 17 and 25 and 26. This is, you know the story. You can write it down for the sake of the time. I just want to challenge you. Moses in verse 15 tells the Lord, Lord, I don't know what you wanted me to do. When you come up to verse 15, Numbers chapter 11, let me just paraphrase it for the sake of time. Moses brings the children of Israel out of Egypt, and all of a sudden, children of Israel are jacked up individuals. They're creating problems, creating frustration. They're creating, like, they don't listen. They don't obey. They wanted deliverance. Now they want to go back to captivity. It's like, sounds like church folk. Just so y'all clear, just right. It's like, maybe not yours. Yours is great. Abundant Life. Sounds like Abundant Life. And they're crazy. So in verse 15, Moses says to the Lord, just kill me. If this is really what you want me to do, help these people, they're jacked up. Just kill me. Take me home now. Verse 15 is what he said. That's Terry's interpretation. I read the Bible a little different. You know what I mean? And the Lord speaks to Moses in verse 16. He says, listen, okay, I got you. I got you, bro. Let's do it this way. Go get you 70 leaders and bring them to the tabernacle. Go get them and bring them to the tabernacle. And when you get them there, I'm going to take what's upon you and put it upon them. Verse 25 is where I want you to see it. Verse 25, it says this. The Lord came down from the clouds and spoke to him. He brought 68 of the 70 into the tent of meeting, and then there was two out with the rest of the people. Verse 25, then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took of the spirit that was upon him. Upon who? Moses. Not upon Joshua, not upon the worship leaders, not upon the youth leaders, upon Moses, took it was what was upon him and placed the same upon the 70 elders. And it happened when the Spirit rested upon them that they prophesied, although they never did it again. But two men had remained in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad, El and Me. And the Spirit rested upon them. Now, they were among those listed, but who had not gone to the tabernacle, yet they prophesied in the camp. I want to challenge you about this. That which is upon him, and this isn't man worship, so we're going to deal with this. I'm not talking about man worship. I'm talking about a supernatural. His ways are higher. His thoughts are higher. The way God does things is different than the way man does things. And so what was upon him to handle the people, that he couldn't do it alone, to the point that he wanted to die. There are 4,000 pastors a day globally. This is a statistic in 2023. 4,000 a day that retire the ministry. And I don't mean retire because of age. They retire, they quit. That's the statistic globally. 4,000 pastors leave the church. They don't want to do nothing with the ministry. They have the same attitude Moses did in Numbers chapter 11. May that not be the smalls. Amen? Why? Because the 70 are going to get around them. The Bible actually says this, if you continue reading it, it says that they will carry the burden. This is what you have to ask and understand. Your job isn't to just be a great title, a great person, a great position holder. Your job is to carry a burden. The burden is what? The vision. He told Israel, or Moses, go get Israel, my people, out and take them to the promised land. It's the understanding of what church life is all about. We come out of Egypt, the world, to get to heaven.
Hey, welcome back, man. Listen, I hope you're getting something out of this. That was one of the best times that I've had in leadership and in training pastors and their leaders or second tier leaders since 2017 when I was doing it. And so I want to challenge you today. Go take these principles. Go see what God did with Moses and the elders, those that were helping him, those that were getting the heart. They were saying the same thing. And when you get that in your heart, I promise you, you as the second tier leader, what you will do is stop hindering the guy in front of you that's over you, the leader that you're following, and you'll actually start compelling and pushing them because you grab the heartbeat. You understand, you've caught the vision of what's going on. Hey, till next time, we're going to come back. We're going to bring you back the second part of this. Don't miss it. Don't delay. It's coming your way. Hey, I'm speaking the word of God over you, believing God with you, that the anointing of God will get all over you today as you accomplish and fulfill what God has put in your heart in Jesus' name.
Connect with Terry on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts to help this message reach more people so together we can create anointed leaders all over the world. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, we're believing God with you and for you that whatever you put your hand to will prosper in Jesus' name.